This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up, Effective Communication, the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network, focusing our attention back on our communication leadership skills, all in this time of AI and technological advances. Hey, this is a time to focus on communication. And in our episode today, we are going to talk about a great mode of communication, email. Email, seriously? Yes. I am going to make a case for specifically employee emails and why we should be doing them more often. Let's go into this. Now, I know email is a love and hate thing. For me, it's a very strong mix of both. In fact, right now I am preparing to go on a camping trip with my wife. We're going to be for at least 3 days completely out of touch. Cell phone, email, none of it. And I'm looking forward to it. And it's the type of thing like emails, it conjures up a lot of opinions, a lot of feelings. And I'll tell you this, a lot of days I go to my inbox and that's where my brain just dies. Yes, email in general has many problems. There are still professionals who are more responsive to emails than even texts or phone calls. I'm one of them. During the day, a lot of times it's easier to reach me by a direct email because that's where a lot of my attention and correspondence is focused, and I'm not alone. We're going to talk about things in some other terms, in terms of the impressions that emails can make, the address itself, and of course the material, but the practicality of having an email that you can manage for your team and how some of the interactions can look as best practices. So we'll just lay out a few ideas, then we'll discuss some of the best practices for team ownership, and we'll make sure that you can do some emails without dropping balls. That's the key here today. And today's word of the day is eloquent. We'll define that word after a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Ready to reduce stress and start paying yourself and your team well? Achieve your goals with the Institute's personalized coaching. Visit weareTheInstitute.com/business-assessment. Autoflow is your partner in technology. With Autoflow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Are you tired of juggling multiple tools to manage your auto repair shop? Say goodbye to the chaos and hello to streamlined efficiency with AutoLeap, the number one all-in-one auto repair shop management software. With AutoLeap, you can sell more, save precious time, and delight your customers with every interaction. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. Okay, we're back. And our word of the day is eloquent, a perfect word for writing emails. Everyone wants to write an eloquent email, but did you know the definition? It surprised me just a little bit. Familiar word, the definition I think is where it's really cool. It's an adjective, and eloquent means to be marked by forceful and fluent expression, or vividly or movingly expressive or revealing. So the cool thing about that is like forceful and fluent, or movingly expressive. There's a lot of action that comes from eloquent things. Cool word. I thought it was cool. And it is the actual word of the day from Webster. I just wasn't feeling very creative on the word of the day. That one landed right in front of me. What a good one. So we're talking about emails in the aftermarket and truly countless other small businesses. It's very, very common to see email interaction with people using public domain email addresses or just common domains. This can be from the casual gmail.com, iCloud.com, or yahoo.com, or it could be the older email suffixes like AOL.com, hotmail.com, or yeah, even netscape.com. Came across one the other day. Haven't seen that one in a while. AOL is not terribly uncommon. We see some of those periodically, but there's those casual, there's the older, but I'll also say there is what I will call a serious email. Those that use their own custom domain names. First and foremost, we all use some of those casual and older email suffixes. I still have an SBC Global email. I have a Gmail account. I have those for various purposes and reasons. Some of them are typically not for my day-to-day correspondence. It's where I'll allow promotional emails to go. And there's lots of other ways you can structure this. Since we all use those, I don't want to come down and say like they're all bad or not useful. A lot of reasons why they're very practical and simple. There is, however, just no denying that a casual suffix feels a little bit like an afterthought when you're in a business setting. If you're working with a business that is using an @gmail.com, it means that, well, they just went to Gmail and typed in their business name to find a Gmail address. There's not anything else that went to it, and it's generally free. And free doesn't really belie a lot of intention behind it. It's a simple way to get something going for simple correspondence. Doesn't say I'm serious about this. And it might seem like not the best way to reach this business, which may be true. But if you are sending an email from your shop, perhaps you have an important link you need your customer to open, like you're sending a digital vehicle inspection by email and you have a Gmail account, I would say that anything with a link to click on, it's best if it's not from rando@gmail.com. If you're networking, applying for a job, or running any kind of transaction, a more serious email suffix does appear more professional. It stands out and it will build more trust. So that is going to get better engagement. It seems judgy. And is this a game changer? I would say probably not always. But like any other feature of business, your email suffix can be a factor in how you are being perceived. And perceptions matter. Communication goes far beyond the words that we use. It absolutely involves our outward appearances, even our digital appearance. And with most every inbox that you send an email to, before every subject is the address the email is from. It is a profound first impression in some cases. So just be aware of that. If that's the first interaction with people, think about it from that point of view. And on the older suffixes, look, it's commonly joked about, but there are strong assumptions that if you have an AOL email address today in 2025, you most likely no longer care that you've got mail. And you probably won't check it either. Is it fair assumption? No, maybe not, but I can speak from experience on this. If you are working with a client using older emails like an AOL email and you must email them, I'm a big fan of calling those individuals to let them know to check their email in most cases, right? Now, look, if you're offended by this and you use an AOL email address, go ahead and send an email to speakup@craigoneal.net and be sure to leave me your number. I'm joking again, but no, in all seriousness, if we are engaging by email, it is almost always for a transaction in some form of a professional capacity. It is far less likely that we're emailing for personal correspondence anymore. And some of those older emails, that was the primary mechanism that they served. It was a social element. And businesses began to pick up and start using these things, of course. And there was that era. We're out of that era. We're in a new era now. So this will lead me to a best practice that I've been encouraging for really the better part of a decade now in my work in software, especially. And this best practice is this: for all auto repair shops, create a standardized company emails for every employee. Create standardized company emails for every employee. And hey, the reason this came to mind isn't just because I'm going on a camping trip and had emails and how glorious it would be not receiving them. I actually came across a shop that I was working with this morning where I'm looking at the list of users in the system that we're working in, and every employee in the shop had their user in the system already, and they all had an email address from that organization. Folks, this is extraordinarily rare for me to come across in the aftermarket. I do run across more shops today than I used to that will have business email addresses for the service advisors or communication specialists in the shop. I rarely will see an email address for our service specialists in the bays. Typically, service specialists or technicians are using generic emails, their own personal email. And look, when you're looking at a user list in an application, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times you'll come across relative, truly inappropriate, can't repeat it, email addresses. And I find it bizarre that an individual would use that in a professional setting at all. But allowing employees to use their own emails has some other issues. Now, follow me on this. This goes beyond the appearance that anyone corresponding in the business is going to have as they represent you, which isn't hard to imagine why that could be a ramification, but staff that need to correspond with a vendor or a partner by email are best to do so with an email that proves their employment, like an @yourshopname.com email. Why? Think about it. If you have individuals with their own emails, personal emails, functioning as established employees, do your vendors or partners know when those individuals are no longer employees? That'd be a pretty silly thing for an employee to go and correspond by email and do something that's illegal or wrong or embarrassing, as there's an obvious digital trail of who a culprit was in that case. But there are some unscrupulous shops out there that have terrible stories of fraud that have occurred right under the owner's nose. And this is just one of those areas that could be problematic. So beg you to think about that. And look, in our increasingly technological field, this has ramifications on a wide variety of partnerships, tool access, and other security credentials. The sheer volume of applications and software platforms that you need to manage logins for can be managed much easier if you know automatically the email that individuals are granted access with. And this is a very practical thing for me, because when I'm working with people, they typically have to administer users in some form with an email or a cell number, which is almost always a personal number. I don't know many businesses providing phone numbers to their employees, not in the shop. It's rare that a file is ever even on hand properly cataloging all of the employee emails. A recent example of this was an organization I was working with that had decent human resource records. And the owner used those to start logins. Hey, that's a leg up on some of them. I've seen shop owners, and myself included, where we have to go and ask the individuals on my team to give that information. This is how it is in a lot of shops. But when the email verification step in the program became necessary to deal with for this organization, it was revealed that many of the people on that list that he used no longer had access to the personal emails that they had once upon a time provided to that organization. And this is exactly what happens with those types of emails. So in all businesses, look, there's a need to communicate with our employees across the board. A lot of times a smaller team, you can accomplish this in a group text. While that can suffice for some shops, larger organizations cannot send mass texts out to employees like that. They can, however, email employees to addresses that the organization provides. It's more secure and it's more structured, and you can actually set expectations and manage them around those emails. Looking to take your shop to the next level of quality service, team culture, and overall profitability? At the Institute, we provide personalized coaching that aligns with your goals of financial stability, excellent customer service, and employee satisfaction. Our priority is helping you establish significant and sustainable progress. We work with you to create strategies that reduce the stress of running your business, improve your quality and performance, and optimize your profitability. Experience the benefits of professional coaching by visiting weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Hey friends, as you know, I'm a proud member of the AutoFlow team, and let me tell you, we've changed how business is done for auto shops everywhere. We support your client experience before, during, and after the work is done. Imagine this: timely updates sent directly to your clients, branded digital vehicle inspections, and seamless communication from start to finish. That's why shops love AutoFlow. And hey, with those 5-star reviews rolling in, you'll wonder how you ever managed without us. Take an important next step and take your auto shop to the next level. Visit www.autoflow.com. Get on board with an AutoFlow trial. Are you ready to meet your perfect auto repair shop management software partner? Well, say farewell to the days of transactional relationships and hello to a true partnership that elevates your business. The number one all-in-one solution is AutoLeap. You're not just getting software, you're gaining a dedicated ally committed to your success. AutoLeap will help you sell more, save time, and delight your customers at every turn. From scheduling appointments to creating estimates, generating invoices, managing technicians, and seamlessly syncing with QuickBooks to keep your records updated, experience the difference a true partnership makes. Visit AutoLeap.com and book a demo today. AutoLeap, your trusted partner for success. Want to see your auto repair shop thrive? Are you looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Let ShopDog Marketing be your guide. Our customer-first approach, combined with AI-driven creative content, ensures top rankings. Dominate mobile-first and voice search with our specialized expertise. Reach out to ShopDog Marketing today and start growing your business. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, our established VoIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get Inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com. Look, working in software, again, all my team members are expected to receive and respond to emails. There are often high volumes of correspondence that are done through that channel. Since we know it can get cluttered, there's also some steps that we can take to manage that clutter. But personal emails are cluttered in a way we cannot help people manage. That is their personal email. We'll never see it. We don't have access to it. And yeah, not that businesses have access or can see individual employee emails either, but you can definitely set some more expectations that around that. We don't expect employees will be using their business email to use as their shopping email or for other promotional things on websites that they visit. That's going to be kept clean for work purposes only, and to do otherwise would be silly. That, I feel, an important point. A lot of people overlook this, but there are costs in providing emails to individuals on our team, but there's a benefit to it as well. And it does open up some additional channels of reliable communication. I hope that's clear. The last thing I want to consider is how our teams are actually managing inbound emails to a generic email for the shop. For example, a lot of shops are taking advantage now of using a service@yourshop.com type email. When you have a service email like that, there's something I see happen. We used to do this as well. And I saw it recently when I was visiting a shop. They had an older computer that was plugged in and running with one purpose. It was so that they could receive and check inbound emails and reply to them. This whole computer was dedicated to this purpose because it was using the email application Thunderbird, and the email automatically logged in. No one could access an administration portion of the program to see what the password was, and no one had access to the actual email administration on any other thing. It's very strange to see a computer have to be on for an email, but it was the only machine with anything that was automatically logged in. The owner had sold the business, was no longer in the picture, and when they did reach out to them, he also no longer remembered any email passwords. That was the end of the story with that one. Fortunately, with new ownership, a new email is on the way for that team, and they'll likely have their own staff emails as well as some other things. That's what I learned when I probed on this. Thing is, I struggled with this too. In the late 90s, especially early aughts, I was doing a terrible job with emails. Lots of businesses were. It was a total afterthought. It was not the main mechanism that we ever had people reaching out to us on. And it always seemed like passwords were being changed and different hands were in it. Sometimes people would answer, other people wouldn't. And then baseline expectations were set. You know the feeling. You get a phone call. Someone says something like, I emailed you 2 weeks ago and I never got a response. It was a terrible phone call to receive. And look, this is no longer an option today. We're in a day where AI, people are all giddy over these AI assistants now that will answer questions after hours, missing an email. It's a moment that matters, right? They took the time to reach out to you. They weren't expecting probably an immediate response. Email doesn't have that same expectation that text messages or phone calls have, but they do expect a response. And when one doesn't go, that's not good. The problem at the root of both those scenarios really is that when a bunch of people are owning one email, you've heard it said, if everyone owns it, no one owns it. This creates a real mess. So I'm going to lay out a best practice here that I think is very simple to follow. And it is this. Number one, create emails for all of your team members in your own domain. Number two is create a workspace, like, for example, in Google. Using that is fine. And then create a group email. A group email is different than a user. The users can be members of a group, and that group email is what you will see. An example of this, for us at AutoFlow, sales@autoflow.com. If you send an email there, that email is seen by everyone who's a member of that particular group. And in this particular case, I would be one of those members. So number four, though, is to make a standard policy for response to that group, to the group. For us, sales@autoflow.com, the email gets replied to primarily by Chan. If he's off, it'll be another individual like Mikey. And typically, though, Chan will make a reply to both the sender and the group so that the group is entirely alerted to the fact that this was actually replied to. And sometimes instead of making a reply to both the individual and the group channel, just do something like say, I got this and we trust him to get it. And then he deals individually with the individual who reached out. But that is the sequence that that should look like. It's a group, not a specific email address that a whole bunch of people access. Each person can see what happens in the group from their own email, which they are expected to maintain. It's a much easier process when it is like that, and you don't have to worry about individuals changing the password to a group. They each are responsible and accountable to their own email and their own password, and there is no excuse for not being able to access it. Typically, it involves having only a personal email used for recovery efforts, for example, but even that shouldn't be necessary. All right. Those steps might seem challenging to some of you because, well, we mentioned things like domain names and groups and workspaces. So look, there's a lot of different ways to do this. For myself, I purchased my domain years ago from I Want My Name as the name of the domain site. There's lots of different sites where you can purchase a domain name, GoDaddy, all these sort of things. Your web developers probably have some advice for you on this, or you probably already own a domain thanks to your web developer purchasing it or buying one on your behalf. They may even offer some email management solutions where you simply need to reach out to them and ask them to add some additional emails for you. So if that's the way you want to manage it, that's fine. I'm just telling you, you can manage it just fine on your own. For myself, after I got my domain, I started a Google Workspace. And the domain, by the way, just costs $20 a year. For most of you, your shop names that aren't common names, it's not an expense by any standard. $20 a year, it's practically free. Right now, the users in a workspace, for example, with Google right now, it's just a little over $14. And I think that's due to go up very soon here in July. I usually a dollar at a time or so with Google. But again, not serious money when you're talking about a monthly thing of $14 per person. Yeah, it adds up the larger your team, but it's not serious money for an organization. It's a small cost and it ought to be recognized simply as a cost of doing business. Now, I'll say this, like any workspace also comes with other things too, like work calendars. Google Calendar's a great piece. Internal chat features. You don't need to go doing separate subscriptions to Slack or other things, but these workspaces can be quite comprehensive. There's all sorts of types. People get involved with Microsoft and use Outlook or some of those other things. There's Apple users. You can use iCloud. I am not focused on iCloud because, well, you guys know, I think by this point, I'm not a huge fan of Apple. I try not to throw the money. I'm not saying Google's any better than Apple or Microsoft or anything, but Google, I would say it isn't much better, but it is the devil I know. So use whichever one you want. But I think that either way, when you start doing things in that fashion, you're going to open up a lot of tools for your organization and you're going to no longer have an issue with emails not being paid attention to. You're going to have an easy way, a guaranteed channel of communication for your team. Email, seriously, can help. So I hope this is helpful for you. And if you do have something to add, something you're curious about, something you'd like to talk about, do email me here at speakup@craigoneal.net. That's O'Neill with two L's, speakup@craigoneal.net. I would love to hear from you on this. If you have some advice that you'd like to share that I can forward for our audience and a future episode, I'd be happy to hear it. I know there's so many options in this area. Some of you might even have strong opinions about email going by the wayside. Other large organizations don't even allow email support sometimes anymore. Gosh, I'll tell you this one more thing, folks. I was on an airplane flying out of country for a little bit, and I realized while I was in the flight that I didn't remember to get my cell phone plan updated to allow for roaming out of country. And I was a little concerned about not being able to contact my family. On an airplane with Wi-Fi, I figured, all right, sweet. I'll go to the website for Verizon and I'll get my account updated. And what did they want to do as soon as I start trying to use chat support or anything to improve my account? They needed to validate that I'm the person logging in. How do they validate? They want to send me a text message. That text message I tried to do through the airplane, even though I can text family through iMessages, those short code messages could not make it to me to validate my account and log in. So there I was texting my wife, asking her to log into the account and make sure that I would be able to hit the ground and have cell phone coverage, all because Verizon couldn't email. It was maddening. Had they simply been able to email, I was able to access my email just fine, and they never even offered the option to do a verification in that mode. Hey, fun problems, but that's the world out there. Anyways, we appreciate hearing from you guys, so please do email me. I appreciate you guys listening to the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network. We have some amazing hosts and amazing productions. Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And once again, thank you so much to our sponsors. Thank you for joining us. I will definitely be emailing all of you my thanks. We've really appreciated everything over this last half of the year already. To all you listeners, thank you so much again. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, and hey, don't neglect your emails, even though I will be for just about 3 days. It'll be fine. Thank you.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.